Final hour, Darren Dunnick and Chase here on this Friday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Dunnick here with you. Roman Josi, the captain, will join us at the bottom of the hour. But right now we say hello to Dan Rosen from NHL.com. He now joins us. Dan, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Well, we just made our predictions to end the last hour, and I've got to be honest. I thought my picks were just not very good because it's too chalky. Yeah, and you just know that's not how the Stanley Cup playoffs go. Now, the good news is I've left myself a nice out to be wrong by picking Carolina to be Nashville. So I know some upsets are going to happen. I just, you know, I look back at my picks and I'm like, why did I go so much chalk? That's just not how the Stanley Cup playoffs work. So I'm not going to ask you who's got the best chance to win. I'm asking you, where do the upsets come from? Where would you start? Where is an upset happening?
That's a great question. I guess if you look at the seeds, 2-3, I got the Boston Bruins beating the Washington Capitals, and the Bruins are the 3 seed, technically. I don't know that that's necessarily an upset, though.
Yeah, we all took Boston.
I don't think that's an upset. The upset that I got is I got Minnesota beating Vegas in the first round. That's my crazy upset, and I look, most of the time, the regular season, you throw it out, it doesn't matter, right? And I get that because you're facing, even in your division, it's 4 maximum 5 times normally. Outside of your division, it's maybe 3, if not 2 times that you're seeing a team. So you don't get that feel. But when you're playing a team 8 times, as Minnesota and Vegas did 8 times, and Minnesota was the better team in that. I think they won 5 or 6 of those games. That matters to me. That's why this season's a little bit different in that sense. And it's an upset. Believe me, I know it's an upset. But it's not that big of an upset because the Minnesota Wild have been very good all season long. They've been a top 10 team all season long. They can clearly score. They have a game breaker, which they haven't had in a very long time, obviously, maybe forever, in Kirill Kaprizov. And their goaltending has been really solid with Cam Talbot holding up as well as he has. And I'm just looking around and I'm saying, you know what? And Vegas has been going so well. They're rolling and all that. And now they drop. Colorado had to win 5 in a row to win that division. They did. Vegas drops. They drop into a matchup that's not as favorable for them. They're still the better team, and I would not be surprised at all if Vegas wins this series. But that's my upset pick right there. The Minnesota Wild take out the Vegas Golden Knights, and I am basing it a little bit here on what happened in the regular season because I think in this unique season it does matter.
Okay, well, Willie went with you. He also had the Wild. He had the Wild in the upset. I laughed at that. I said Vegas wins easy. So tell me why, Dan, that Minnesota's had good regular seasons before. They've had good goaltending play when Dubnyk was in between the pipes and huge expectations, and they have always faltered in the playoffs. Why is this year different?
One reason is Kaprizov. They've never had a player that scares you, right? I mean, like, they've never had that guy who can just break a game open with his skill. And that unique elite ability that it takes to do something. And it's not something we see all the time in the playoffs, but that one game that Kaprizov just dominates and wins, that might be the difference in winning the series. And I think he has that ability to do it. And the other thing that they have is this used to be the Zach Parise, Ryan Suter show. It's no longer that. They're much deeper. Zach Parise spent a lot of time on the fourth line this season. They're much deeper. Zuccarello, although I would like to see him shoot the puck a little bit more, is a terrific playmaker. Their defense is much better. And their goaltending, I think, is at least as good as it was when Dubnyk was in his prime, if not better, with the way that Talbot's played. So I think they're just a little bit different. And that addition to me of Kaprizov has really pushed the Wild to a different level in terms of their dynamic ability. And it's not every time that wins in the playoffs, but you got to have it to win in the playoffs, and I think they do.
Toronto and Edmonton don't have a gorilla or an elephant on their back. They have a herd of elephants on their back when it comes to playoff time. So who are you scared the most for that they don't get out of the first round? Which how would you answer that? Which team are you scared the most for not getting out of the first?
I would be more scared about Toronto. And to me, that's not necessarily a knock on Toronto. I'm just more scared about it because I look at it and I say the matchup against Montreal, while it favors them, there's no question about it. Montreal is more of a team built for playoff hockey. They're big. They've got size. They're getting guys back into the lineup too. They have some scoring ability. Toronto's better. Toronto's got a better lineup. But also you have the question in goal with Toronto. Jack Campbell, Freddie Anderson. I think it's got to be Jack Campbell. But then there's also the pressure. The Leafs haven't won a playoff series since 2004. They haven't played against the Montreal Canadiens since 1979 in the playoffs. And this is supposed to be the year that the Toronto Maple Leafs not only win a playoff series, but go on a deep run. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying this is a team that's built for now, built to win. And Toronto has not been a team that's answered the bell when they've had some pressure on it. So we'll see if they can do it now. I think they will. I think this is the year they do answer the bell.
And somebody always, you know, in the first round is going to have a sweep. Somebody will get the sweep. Who is the likely sweep candidate in your mind?
You sure you want me to say it?
Oh, okay.
Of course.
I guess I walked into that, didn't I?
I'm not sure you want me to say it if that's the case, but I would say if you're going to give me one, I don't know that they will see one. These teams are so evenly matched across the board in these divisions, and they've seen each other so much. But Carolina's really good, man. They're really good. They're deep. They score. They have the defense is terrific. I think Nashville's going to struggle to score a lot in that series, and UC Soros has to be the difference. Now, the thing with Nashville is they won 20 of their last 28 games, so they're rolling. They're feeling really good right now, and they just beat Carolina twice, too. So that does matter, I think, but if you're asking me for the one, it's probably that. The other one I could give you is Edmonton. Edmonton has dominated Winnipeg this season, and I think Connor McDavid alone is good enough for two or three wins in that series.
Talking to Dan Rosen from NHL.com, does a great job. You often see him all around, an NHL Network, among other things. Dan, let's go back to Carolina because, you know, here, for the first time they've been in the same division, you could see how they've emerged now as one of the top teams in the league. But, you know, playing in the market that they do, and this is still relatively early with some of their young stars blossoming, what sets them apart? You know, because you look down the stats, they really don't have a weakness when you get down to it. Mm-hmm. But what gives them a chance maybe to win the whole thing?
To me, it's their defense. You know, with Carolina's defense, they go 7-8 deep on that blue line, and they got a guy, you know, to me in Dougie Hamilton, who should be an Norris Trophy guy. He should be an Norris Trophy candidate, no question about it. I think Jacob Slavin is one of the best pure defenders, two-way defenders in the league. You know, and you got to remember, Nashville and Seed are one of those guys in the last game of the season. So there's a difference. You go beyond that. Brett Pesce didn't play for them in the bubble last season. They missed him big time. Brady Shea can move the puck. Jake Gardner can move the puck. The defense to me is what sets them apart, because even if they, provided they don't lose Dougie or Jacob Slavin, they have replaceable parts there and they're not going to have a huge drop off. So I like them a lot. And I think what they do is they insulate the goaltending a lot. Alex Nedeljkovic has been very good. Peter Mrazek, we know what he can do. But they're insulated a lot by that defense, and they're really good, and they move the puck, and they push it, and they push the pace. And the other thing I like about Carolina is I look at their coach, Rod Brind'Amour. He's been an excellent coach in the league, and the team pretty much plays in the image of what he was as a player. Nobody works harder. They're relentless. And they're excellent defensively, and they can score. And it's kind of what Rod Brind'Amour was as a player.
Dan, they're actually holding a press conference right now in Raleigh. I'm just seeing some of the quotes that are coming out. Obviously, they have to try to re-sign Rod Brind'Amour, who I think is probably going to win the Jack Adams. That's one thing going on. They've also announced that they are going to, like Nashville, ramp up the capacity in their building for fans. I'm not sure how much the fact that Nashville announced a few days ago they would be going to 12,000 influenced them, but they've talked about some of the equipment that they've got available to them. So let me just throw this at you, because I know across the league there's going to be a varying amount of fans in each building based on what the restrictions are locally. So what factor do you think crowd will be in this playoff run?
I think they can be a big factor. I really do. I think you hear about it a lot in the playoffs, how the motion of the building, the players feel the emotion in the building. When there's no one in the building, they have to generate that emotion for themselves. And after a while in the bubble last year and early this season, they were able to get used to it. But you guys have been in the empty buildings. I've been in the empty building. It's just not the same. It's just not even close. The fans make the whole experience, and they make it for the players too. And if you can get half the building filled, that's going to be good enough to get an atmosphere in the building. And you'll have that in Nashville, and now apparently you're going to have that in Carolina, a little bit more than half in both buildings. And I think it's going to make a difference for the home teams. It's going to create a little bit more of a home ice advantage, because if there was no fans or if there was 3,000 or 4,000, it's not really a home ice advantage. You get in there in the, you know, the 10, 12,000 range, you know, you're going to get a home ice advantage. And I think that makes a difference for these teams. And, you know, we're not going to see any fans, I don't think, in the Canadian markets, and we haven't seen them yet this season. So it's really all on the players to generate their emotion and to figure it out. And they, you know, I mean, that's what the teams had to do in the bubble last year, but everybody was in the same boat, and everybody's going to be in the same boat in the North Division. But, you know, varying degrees of fans in each building, I think, will make an impact, certainly for the home teams.
Dan, I do not see an announcement from the Canes on who will start game one in net. You just got done talking about how all three of their goalies have been effective this year, but it seems to be a choice between Nedeljkovic, the rookie, and the veteran, yeah, Peter Mrazek, who hasn't played as much. I don't know what it's worth. We saw both up close here in Nashville the last two games of the regular season, one in a game that meant everything to the Predators. They were trying to clinch their way in. Nedeljkovic played magnificently. Right. And then a game that didn't mean anything for either team, really. And Mrazek just did not look sharp at all. I don't know if that weighs in, the, you know, that last impression. But do you have an opinion on who you would put in there if you were Rod Brind'Amour?
Yeah, I would put Nedeljkovic in. I think he's been their best goalie all year. You know, and Mrazek didn't have a chance really because of injuries, but Nedeljkovic has the numbers to back up being their best goalie all year. And they've played very well in front of him. So that's the guy I would go with. And I'm going to say Brian Boucher, former goalie and a great analyst on NBC. We had him on our podcast, the NHL At the Rink podcast this week, and he made a very good point. He said, I would always, if there's a choice and you're 50-50, always go with the younger guy. Because the younger guy, you can be dumb and hungry and just go in and be ready to play and you don't feel that pressure. But if you falter, now you can turn to the veteran guy who's going to be able to handle himself and be able to handle not playing early because he's got that experience. But if you go to the veteran guy, you might lose the younger guy. You know, you might be saying, you know, to the younger guy, all right, and then he's not going to know how to handle it. So you go with the younger guy if there's any question. I agree with that, but I think also just backing up based on the numbers and how he's played, Nedeljkovic to me is the guy.
So let's look at the other net. UC Saros, as you pointed out, has been the key reason that Nashville got their season turned around. He's played tremendously well, deserving of a Vezina Trophy finalist, in my opinion. But here's the question for you, Dan. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. David Poile was asked about him today, and he sort of hedged by saying, yeah, he's the guy. We've passed the torch. But yeah, one of the things you judge a goalie on is playoff success, which he did not have last year. So how important do you think this series is for him?
I think it's important. I don't think it's a make or break for UC Saros. You know, he is the guy. You know, I mean, I don't think it might have an impact a little bit in the money they get on the contract if he really just flames out in the playoffs. But I don't see, if they lose, I don't see UC Saros being the reason that they lose in the series. And he's 26 years old. Just turned 26. You know, he's got a real bright future to be a number one goalie for a long time now with the Nashville Predators. And you're right, playoff success matters. He didn't have it last year. He's got another opportunity this season. But I think in the big picture, no matter what happens in this playoffs, he's going to get his contract and he's going to be the number one goalie in Nashville next year.
The other intriguing matchup as we wrap this up, Dan, is the one that starts down in Sunrise, Florida, the Panthers and the Lightning. How do you see that one playing out?
So I like Florida in this series. A, matchup-wise, against the Lightning, they've been the better team, winning five of the games. B, you've got guys coming back into the Tampa lineup, which should excite the Lightning, and clearly does. I've been on their Zooms, and the guys are pumped that Nikita Kucherov is back and Steven Stamkos is back. But Kucherov is coming back without playing a game since the bubble last year, since winning the cup last season. And now he's going to try to, you know, catch lightning in a bottle here, no pun intended, and go right into the playoffs when everybody's been going for a while. It's going to be hard for him for a few games, and you don't have you don't have enough runway for a few games to try to feel your way in as you would in the regular season. Similar with Stamkos, even though he's playing this season, he hasn't played in a while. And then you got Victor Hedman, there's a report, Chris Johnson from Sportsnet reported this past Saturday, that Hedman's going to need surgery after the season with his lower body injury. And if he's banged up at all, that is a huge red flag for me for the Tampa Bay Lightning, because he was banged up in that Columbus series a couple years ago, and they got swept after having a historical regular season. He's that important to them. So if Bobrovsky holds up, and I understand that's a big if, with his playoff pass, but he's done it, in the past. He has done it against the Lightning. If he holds up, I think Florida has enough here. I think they're for real, and I think they win the series.
Dang it. I knew it. I said it. I wanted to take Florida.
Is Bobrovsky for sure starting? Are they going to go?
Do we know?
They announced?
Or is Drieger? Okay.
It's going to be Bobrovsky. Joel Quenneville said today that he's looked good. He's ready to go. They're excited to get him in. And he also said their goaltending will not be a concern for us. So, you can't not start Bobrovsky. You signed him to be the guy that takes you deep. And now he's the guy that's got to sign him to take him deep.
But to say he's not a concern, I think is a little bit over. I mean, I know he's saying that to try to build confidence, but yeah, he has not looked good at all.
I agree, and I think he's looked good at times, but I agree with you. And I think one of the things that's going to be interesting to see here is how does he start? Because even though he's your guy and you signed him and you for this long-term deal, Chris Drieger has been special this season. He really has been. He's been very good, and he's been good against the Lightning too. The leash is short. Of all the number one goalies that you see, I think the leash might be the shortest. With Sergei Bobrovsky entering the first round, unless Ilya Samsonov is off the COVID list. He's not, if Ilya Samsonov is out of protocol and ready to go, and Vanecek struggles in game one. We'll see. But even Nedeljkovic, I think, might have a longer leash than Sergei Bobrovsky. But we'll see.
I knew it. I didn't have the guts to do it. Florida's the one I wanted to take. Didn't do it. You're probably right. That's probably one that I could see the Panthers.
Not enough yet.
No, it's not really. Yeah, I know. Dan, good stuff as always. Really appreciate the visit, and we will certainly talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right, you too. Dan Rosen, NHL.com is where you can find his work. Always good discussions with him. Don't forget the captain, Roman Josi, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now I want to talk to you about big names that are headlining this weekend's UFC 262 card. Tony Ferguson to Michael Chandler, there will be no shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. That's right. One fighter will be walking away with the belt, and you can walk away with some cash. All you have to do is pick the main event fighter you think will win, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. And you know what? All you have to do is bet $1 of your money, and if that fighter that you pick wins, you win $100. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to put your money where your mouth is, and that's with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry. If mixed martial arts isn't for you, they've got great offers and odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. All you have to do is download the top-rated app, use that promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. And if they do so, you win. That code again, 1025GAME, turn $1 into $100 on that main event, UFC 262. This is for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.